ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Thank you.
ಮಂದಿರಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾಂತರಾಮಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವಿಶ್ವಭಾನ್ ಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿತ್ರಿ ಪಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುವೇ ಚ ಪುನೀತನಾಃ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತದಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ನಮೋ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾಗಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ಪ್ರದೇಶದ
people may have some interest in political leaders, But that is only the expectation that he may perform better than the previous one. He may perform better than, these promises may come true. And this hope is a reflection of that same hope which materialists have from material nature, that maybe this particular activity of mine, this particular material activity of mine will give pleasure, will lead to happiness. And that same hope they put in the political leaders, maybe the next one will lead me to happiness, lead us to a happy way of life. But actually what happens is, we all know, history speaks for itself. So many leaders have come and gone, and hardly there is any improvement in cultural or religious lives of people, and that naturally affects the social and political life also. One time this question was asked by Zolasdeva Maharaj. He was in Bombay temple, I think Chowkati, Father Gopinath temple, and somebody would ask, you know, now many political parties coming in India, and everyone has great hopes. He's religious, and he will economically boost India's position. And then Maharaj said, please do not harass the politicians. Let them be politicians. They will act as politicians only. Do not expect too much from them. Then big words, this is 2013 or 14, this lecture. And Maharaj said, Maharaj was making a simple point that do not criticize politicians for being politicians. They will do their politics and they will move on. So this is telling your politicians. Whereas we see the examples, King Yudhishthir, Lord Ram, King Prithu, when they did politics, when they came to rule, when they took over power, people were not thinking like that. Sages were not thinking like that. Now sages are saying like that for politicians because this is what they show. But previously sages would not say like that. When Lord Ram walked off from the palace, the whole city followed him. All citizens followed him. And now if politician dies, people feel happy that burden is reduced. This is a difference, you know, that only for some some state ceremonies, some ceremonies may happen. How many people feel worse? How many people are really not eating or sleeping because one politician died? Whereas you see, when King Yudhishthir left, he had to beg and request all the citizens that please stay in Hastinapur and serve Dhritarashtra and serve the kings, the rulers there. And he had to request them because everyone wanted to go. And when citizens, he stopped the citizens, hundreds and hundreds of brahmanas followed him. Sages followed him. As a king, Yudhishthir Maharaj had nothing with him. He was going to stay in forest. He would just beg. He can't even beg alms. There in forest, they have to just survive on leaves and roots and shoots and fruits in the forest. And these sages, all these hundreds and hundreds of brahmanas, wanted to be with King Yudhishthir. And the classic example comes, why so, is in Mahabharata this comes when they were trying to locate where Yudhishthir is. This is not the last year where they were incognito, but in general. So I think Vidura or someone approached Bhishma Dev to find out where the Pandavas will be in the forest. And Bhishma Dev gives amazing explanation. If you want to find Pandavas, especially Yudhishthir, he said, as far as locating the Pandavas is concerned, I will tell you where to find them. Look for that place where there are no calamities or disaster. Where the pious Yudhishthir dwells, there will be an atmosphere of peace and security. The people will be inclined towards charity and will be liberal, humble and modest. There the people will be cheerfully performing their respectful duties, attached to piety, truthfulness and purity. You will hear the very things being chanted and see sacrifices being performed. Clouds will shower abundant rains and earth will bear crops. Earth will be very crops. There will be sign of wealth everywhere and no one will be visible. Indeed, that place where Yudhishthir lives will resemble the heavens. So this is the quality of a little these kings were. And you might have wondered also why, when great kings, name comes of great kings, why King Yudhishthira's name always comes again and again. This example is quoted. In many places, his rulership, his way of leading the praja, it was very much compared with like Lord Rama. People were that happy as they were in the kingdom of Lord Rama, because he was exactly ruling on the principles of Lord Rama, while the Supreme Lord is on teachings. So the job of the king is basically to see the resources he has must be shared with the citizens for their welfare. Then only these four things can be possible: cultural, religious, social and political. Then when these resources a king has, or a ruler has, or a politician has, if it is not shared, not just for economic development, but for helping religious societies also to flourish, then we see a different sense of prosperity in people. You know, it's exactly like if parents have all the resources and you go and meet them, they look well fed. But kids are not taken care of, they look malnutrition. But parents are very healthy. You say it's an abuse. The child will be happening here basically. You may complain to police that they're not taking care of their children. But they themselves have all the resources, but they're not taking care, they're criminal. Same goes to the politician. If the population is malnutrition, but politician has the resources, he's a criminal. Because praja is like children, like a child to the politician, or the ruler, or the king. So, you know, it's practically in every sphere, every department, the same problem you see. Even in business society, you see business culture, where the owner takes all the money, and some tiny petty salaries are given to the employers. And they are working very hard. The employees are working very, very hard. Basically, they are exploited, especially in countries where labor inequality is there. The labor is heavily exploited, and that results in what? That results in praja, the labor which depends on the owner, basically suffering. But you see, the owner, he makes a lot of money. The businessman makes a lot of money. So this disparity between the leader and the follower has created so many problems, and that's where a good leadership is highly recommended, highly glorified here. The verse itself says, yeah, those who are learned scholars in the history of the Puranas, eulogize and glorify King Gaya. They actually glorify King Gaya for his following qualities, which we are discussing now. We will see Srila Prabhupada as a leader also of society, and we will have some cross-times of Srila Prabhupada, very amazing pastimes. Lot of messages from these pastimes. Srila Prabhupada as a leader also was very much following these qualities, where he was not a man sitting on a throne exploiting all the followers he had. He was basically working harder than them, in some occasions on equal level with his disciples. We see so many different examples, you know, how because of that leadership, that sacrifice Srila Prabhupada was making, when he hears his disciples speak about him, this one point is very commonly said, that Prabhupada is very much working with us on the ground, harder than us, made us sacrifice our lives for this person. Because here he was not a person who was sitting in an air-conditioned room and just ordering us, his followers, his disciples. And for us, it was some boss exploiting us, and we were forced to follow his instructions. No, it was completely a reciprocation of love. And with the classic pastime you hear, I've recently read a book, I'll Build You a Temple by Dhiraj Maharaj. It's a It's a new book release, a more very awaited book, finally it's out. And Tirumala explains what all they went through just to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's instructions in Bombay. And reading itself is at least the challenge which we read in the book, which maybe just, maybe not everything is mentioned in the book also, the detail, what they all went through is so intense that they have to sleep with rats, snakes, like mosquitoes. And these mosquitoes were like nut-sucking mosquitoes, big time. And there were places where the rats would just bite them and go, and they would not even find the night. And morning they wake up with blood. And that's the situation they were living in. The place which, the land which they got, the Hare Krishna land, which is a famous Jivu temple now, the land which they got, the land was in such a bad condition that when Prabhupada said to just go and clear the land, they were so disappointed. Every single person, all Prabhupada's disciples, all of them unanimously, among and along with all the donors, all the life members, everyone said no for the land to Prabhupada. Everyone told Prabhupada, don't buy this land. So Ramakrishna Maharaj said to Prabhupada that we are Westerners, what do you expect from us? To leave all this land and build this? And Prabhupada had to convince them that for Krishna, please do it. Can you imagine all your donors are saying don't buy this? It was their public donation. First of all, it was far away from where central Mumbai was. And then this land itself was near the fishing area. All the fishing market, community was there. And it's a useless land at that moment, basically. But huge property, which has a future, Prabhupada is envisioning. But because many years back, Prabhupada had a desire to build a temple for Krishna. And of course, Prabhupada could foresee what's coming up. Prabhupada actually said that time, when this land was practically useless, that just wait, this land will be worth crores of rupees in future. And then, and Vivekananda explains that the hardship they went through, just to make the land clear, their backs were broken. Ramana told them their backs were broken. But they could see that Prabhupada with the same vigor and intensity is traveling and preaching. He is not ordering us in from his office that you take the land, you maintain the land, and I don't do anything. So they came to a situation where the owner, who had some ill motives, Mr. Nair, he once called Viral Maharaj to accompany him in the car to go to the office of the magistrate, not magistrate, but their lawyer. Which lawyer was from our side, from temple side, but they found out that the lawyer is then purchased by Mr. Nair as opposition person along with many all other tricks he was doing. So anyways, when in the car they called him, they called Viral Maharaj, Mr. Nair was sitting, who was a very rich, famous man. And Viral Maharaj said, as soon as I reached the car, I saw that next to Mr. Nair, a very young, beautiful woman is sitting. And I'm supposed to sit next to her, he's a brahmachari. And he didn't want to sit. But he was so intimidated with the whole scene that a rich man has called me, we're going to our lawyer, that he was forced to sit there. Basically, he couldn't say no, that I will not sit with this woman. Because here they were poor Hare Krishnas, dealing with very rich businessmen. So he sat in the car, and immediately that woman started touching him. His legs and his, she's starting to basically attack him. And Dhiraj says in the book, he says, I decided I will go for it. In my mind, I decided I'll go for it. And then suddenly one thought came to me. The thought was, if this goes out, if this news goes out that I, being a manager, is involved with this woman, then our image will be spoiled. But more than that, Srila Prabhupada will be hurt. And I cannot hurt that. I'll hurt Srila Prabhupada. He has given so much love. So he said, he was saying, as soon as that thought came, he immediately pushed her aside and he was basically not disturbed anymore. And Maharaj made a very interesting point. He said, and this is the lesson from this, he said that I was ready to destroy myself by saying yes to the woman's advances. I was ready to destroy myself. That means I didn't love myself that much because I was ready to destroy myself. But I realized that day that I love Prabhupada more than myself. That's why I could just push her aside. And how is it possible for a leader to create such love in his followers if he is not selfish, if he is not compassionate, and if he is not being able to give them experience of Krishna consciousness, which he is speaking about, promising? And Mahavir clearly said, I didn't love myself that much, how much I love Prabhupada. That's why I could just give this desire away. And later Mahavir was telling that woman came many times to search for Maharaj and Hare Krishna property, and they found out she was one of the very famous prostitutes of Bombay. So, amazing with these personalities. But if we carefully see the prema bhakti, that spiritual master who removes the ignorance, avidya, disciples can come to this stage. These levels of realization. There was another Prabhu there, Jagat Purushottam. This past name is too good. He came here in Bombay. There was time when they were just building up, community was building up, some devotees were coming up, nearby people were supporting them. The temple is not built, still it says a land and temporary hut. They had a kitchen, they were cooking in, you know, the chatai, huts they make. It's like some straw huts, and it's very hot inside. And they were cooking for hundreds of people. So they had hired a Brahman, a caste Brahman to cook, but his cleanliness standards were bad. So Jagat Purushottam, he saw and he decided that we'll fix it. And he thought that for a few months I'll stay here, fix the standard, train someone and move on. So he came and he stayed there. His service would start 7 in the morning and 10:30 in the night he would leave the kitchen. So, because he was cooking all the offerings along with food for life. That time which they were doing, which is serving the people around. They were serving approximately 200 meals per day, free to poor people and people around. So now he was cooking in practically 48 to 50 degrees Celsius in that, with no fan in that hut. And he mentions that one day it reached its peak. The sun was so scorching and I was cooking. I started in the morning. By the time midday came, I finished the Ayurveda Arti. I was cooking the Ayurveda Arti and then fully drenched, completely wet. After finishing the Arti, I just went and sat and I thought to myself, what am I doing? I'm just wasting time. He was lamenting. Basically, what am I doing? Because it's too hardship. When you have to cook in 50 degrees, standing next to a burner, in catering you experience that. Standing next to a burner, whole day, morning 7 to night 10. And then immediately Prabhupada's thought came to him. And then thought came to him that, why am I thinking about myself so much? Why am I thinking about my comfort so much? He said, he was in his words, he said, by Prabhupada's mercy, I just thought, there is a small photo of Radha Rasbihari inside the kitchen. They must be also feeling the heat. But why am I thinking about me feeling heat? So he immediately went and took a fan and started fanning a photo. It's not deity also. He started fanning a photo there. And he said, the temperature didn't reduce. Some sun didn't go down. Clouds didn't come. In that same intense heat, in few minutes of fanning Radha Rasbihari, I started feeling cool. He literally said it was so wonderful coolness that came over me that I stopped feeling heat anymore. There was no more heat I would feel. In his words he says, temperature had not changed, but my consciousness had changed, my mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And Radha Rasbihari immediately reciprocated with him in that same temperature. So, Srila Prabhupada with his intense pure devotion was inspiring so many devotees to achieve what he did. One very common principle we see, which you all know anyways, is in all the activities of Srila Prabhupada, pleasure of Krishna was the most central, was the most important thing. And that's as a spiritual leader, that quality Prabhupada displayed quite often. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked, that Prabhupada, when we go for Harinam, how should we invite devotee people to come and join Harinam? Should we pull them in? Should we give them cards? Should we give them cookies? What should we do when we go on Harinam to attract people? And Prabhupada said, don't do anything. Just glorify Krishna. Don't go to get people in. You go out to do Harinam to glorify Krishna. So very, very much centered around pleasure of Krishna. Every active Krishna Prabhupada did. In one pastime, Lila writes to Srila Prabhupada in this book. This book has so many pastimes, amazing ones actually. He writes to Srila Prabhupada and he says that we are already distributing 200 free plates. What do you think? Is it a good idea that we advertise? We make banners and we advertise? That more poor people can come and eat and we can go to where, to the poor places and distribute food, prasadam. And Prabhupada immediately replied him. He said, we are not Karmakandiyas who are here to serve the poor. He said, we are not here to serve food to poor people. We are not those ritualistic people who want some pious credits out of serving the poor. We are here to serve Krishna. Whether it is rich or poor, let everyone come and take prasadam. Not just poor. Not just poor. Let everyone come and take prasadam. Why? Because whoever doesn't have Krishna is poor. There is very clear in this instruction. He says, do not go to poor places and distribute prasadam. That is not our philosophy. You see, in our temple also, it's very much centered on this instruction. Everyone comes take prasadam. Just of course, for reaching out, for developing good relationships, we do for life and all that. But it's not very restricted or very calculated based on people should come. Devotees, with all the resources, they also come and take prasadam. Prabhupada was very clear. Because why Prabhupada was so clear? He knew prasadam is Krishna. And because prasadam is Krishna, when people who are poor get prasadam, they become rich. You don't have to be poor in financial terms. But you can be poor in spiritual terms also. And this is exactly what happened when Prabhupada had the discussion with reporters in Gujarat. This is a conversation in Hindi. It is so heated that you can't hear a loudspeaker. For it's shouting. Prabhupada is shouting, reporters are shouting. It's in Hindi. Why? Because Prabhupada, the point Prabhupada was making is that the reporters questioned Prabhupada, you only have rich people in your society. And then Prabhupada was making the same point. What rich or poor? Whoever wants to come, we'll serve them. We don't ask you rich or poor, but we don't go to the poor. Whoever comes or whoever is accepting our prasadam, we give them prasadam. And then Prabhupada was very strongly hammering this point that who is the Dharidra? This nonsense term point, Dharidra Narayan. Narayan can never be Dharidra. Dharidra is poor. The poor is that person who doesn't have Krishna. As simple as that. So, Brahmana Prabhu says, like in Bombay, many occasions you have seen Prabhupada put himself with food, prasadam to kids. So, in one occasion, Prabhupada was, every time he would give, but on this one particular time, he was distributing prasadam to children. And it was taking quite a bit of time, and it's a strain. Prabhupada has to sit like this for quite some time. And the Brahmana Prabhu thought he helped Prabhupada. So, he asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, can I give? You can take rest. And Prabhupada seriously looked at him and he said, I will do it. And Brahmana Prabhu said, I just got stuck, heavy, with the thought that time that Prabhupada has come for this mission to give mercy, to give prasad to people, and that's why he wants to do it himself. To give mercy to people. So, very amazing pastime, you know, Prabhupada. As a leader, because this theme is of a good leader, and this is what we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada. How by his own example, by his own devotion, he has inspired so many people. So many people. And yet, not very demanding. And in some occasions, if he appears to be strong, you see the soft side of Srila Prabhupada also. This is the final part I want to tell. We will stop there then. This is now, this Juhu temple is complete. It's the 1977, Prabhupada is old. It's April, May, March, April time. And Prabhupada is weak also. And they are driving Srila Prabhupada in the property. This twin towers, Prabhupada's desire. He saw in some other country, some of these twin towers, they went to Bombay to have these twin towers. He had gone to understand the whole design. And he had told devotees, when it's ready, I want to come and stay here, in my room there. So Prabhupada came in April or March, it was. And few devotees were accompanying him in the car. Giridhar was there, Harisuri Prabhu, Gopal Krishna, Srikar, people in the car were there with Prabhupada. And they passed the twin tower, and Prabhupada looked at it, and he looked back. And they crossed. Past twin tower, they didn't stop at the twin tower that building and then the Jewel temple, and they took him to the next building to sit. Everyone got up, all the luggage came out, and then they asked, Prabhupada, please come, we'll take you to your room. He said, no, you promised me that I'll stay in twin tower. Prabhupada is very weak and very softly speaking. He said, Prabhupada is not ready. He said, no, you promised me. And he's not coming out of the car. So all the devotees put luggage back, they also sat inside, they turned the car back to the twin tower and they reached there. It's not complete, the room is not complete yet. And the lift is not working. So they reached there, lift is not working, they had to carry Prabhupada to his room. But he wanted to stay in his room. And then they reached the room, the floor is not finished. So Surbhi Maharaj did Guru Puja to Prabhupada. While they were doing Guru Puja, he had sent few people to go and fix other areas quickly of Prabhupada. And all these devotees are there. So then when everyone left, only few 10 devotees left in hand. Harishwari Prabhu, Guru Krishna, Giriraj Maharaj, and few other devotees left behind, and they were all sitting. Everyone stays down. But they couldn't complete the room. Imagine seeing 10 people are sitting, these 10 leaders, local leaders, they are sitting down. Prabhupada is also sitting down, like looking down on the ground. It's silence for many minutes. And everyone's heart is just pumping. We can't do this, Prabhupada, he is down. He must be really upset, he must be really angry. They're all scared also what is happening. And then Prabhupada finally raised his head and spoke in a soft voice. Prabhupada says, all of you are trying so hard to please an old man who gets irritated so fast. I'm old, and on top of that, I'm unwell. So little things irritate me, but all of you are so tolerant. And he said, for 10 minutes, Prabhupada just spoke in that line. So, Siddhanta was also there, and he was saying, who relates the past, and he's saying, everyone was just looking down, and he was crying when Prabhupada was speaking in this tone. And when he turned around and saw everyone in the room was crying, Prabhupada was crying. And such a scene it was, that Prabhupada is speaking, he is in tears, Siddhanta was in tears, all the devotees sitting, everyone was in tears, but it was the way Prabhupada was speaking. And he commented something. He said, I thought I was the only one who was crying, but when I looked around, I saw that everyone had tears in their eyes, including Prabhupada. It was so sweet, so wonderful. How can you not love such a person and give your life for such a person? He concludes with that. How can you not love such a person and give your life for such a person? Who is so selfless, so much compassion, so much full of love for Krishna. So, the third, because this verse speaks about a classic leader, and in Srila Prabhupada we have that. And those who are following in line with Srila Prabhupada also display the same qualities of good leader, a caring devoted leader. We seek blessing to Srila Prabhupada. And with all gratitude, it's amazing that we are under such a leadership of people like Prabhupada and his followers. So I'll just stop there. Any questions or comments? Corrections? Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna.